Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hulu
Fish Camp. I miss Ron Bennington.
It's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Got a great show lined up. I don't mean to be a, you know, take a poop in the punch bowl, but don't forget, tomorrow night, I will not be doing a show. I was debating, because StreamYard allows you to record, do a pre-recorded show that you can schedule to air during it. If you're new to the show or you have not been listening for quite some time, hold on, I see, this sucks. I always got to check to make sure that the audio sounds good. This sucks that I got to do this all the time to make sure that the audio sounds good. It sucks. God damn it. I'll be right back. I am back. You know, this always pisses me off, man. The audio sounded, it was way subpar. All right, so it's good now. All right, thank you. But if you guys haven't been listening as of late, radio is my passion. Radio has always been my passion to a fault. I love radio. I love podcasting. But radio and podcasting does not like me. But thanks to my producer, Vulture. What up, Ron Bartosz? How are you? I got Iggy T. Iggy T is in here. And Mark. I want to thank everybody that's in here early. But back to what I was saying, radio and podcasting, I love it. It just doesn't love me as much as I love it. Kind of like my dating history, my love life, per se. But I got this new job. And I'm doing hiring for it, and I'm not going to say where I'm working at or whatever, but I'm responsible for hiring for a very legitimate company. And I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I am, but we all have to play that game. If we all worked jobs that were our passion, the world would be a perfect place. But we all have to play that game. We got to work our asses off. And money does give you freedom. A lot of people that say money doesn't buy you happiness. No, it doesn't. But it also gives you freedom. And, you know, my mom and stuff, I don't know how people just live off of their Social Security. And I'm putting money away. First paycheck I got, I put $500 away. And I still had money left over to put in my mom's bank account to pay bills and stuff. And And that makes me feel good. Because I know that's what my dad would want me to do. My dad would want me to step up and take care of my mom. And help her out so she's not stressed out. Because I really don't know, with the inflation that we're dealing with in this country right now, how people that are living off of Social Security live. Because the price of just basic things, that hamburger meat is something that the lower class people live off of, hamburger helper and stuff. And that has become overpriced as well, too. And it makes me feel proud. And I know that my dad would be proud. You know, like, I'm not trying to S my own D or anything at this new job, but I think I've been killing it. A lot of the upper management has been really impressed with what I've been doing and stuff. And I don't know if a lot of you people have gone through losing a loved one. I mean, everybody's got to do it. You know, growing up as a kid and stuff, when you get to the age that you realize everybody's going to die, you know that it's going to be happening, but you're never prepared for it. You're just not. And for me to be able to help out my mom, I know that's what my dad would want me to do. My dad would be proud of me. And I'll give you an example. I got a guy hired because what I'm doing is I'm responsible for hiring new employees, kind of like a headhunter going out and trying to find people that I think would best suit the company that I'm working for right now. And I got a guy a job the other day, a guy that is a hard worker, a guy that is good at what he does. He was working at another place. You know, after the first week, I realized what my purpose was. My purpose is to sell the company that I'm working for. And I got this guy, and I was so proud that I was able to get this guy to come and work for the company that I'm working for. And I was like, I wanted to tell my dad about it. And back to what I was saying, if you've never lost a loved one, sometimes you forget that they're gone. You forget that they're gone. And after I found out that good news and everything, I stood up from my desk, this very desk that I'm doing this podcast on. And I got up and I wanted to go tell my dad, but then, boom, it hit me. He's not here for me to tell him that. And that was a little bit of a gut punch. I'm just being honest. It was. You know, my childhood friend. And I don't even, you know what? I'll say his name. Derek. Derek, who was my childhood friend growing up. A day after the 1 year anniversary of my dad passing away, his dad died. And I'm just being upfront. I want to help my friend out, but I talked to him today. I haven't bawled as much as I have in the past year for quite some time. I cried my eyes out because I'm just trying to help my friend out. going through this process of losing your father. And I've been doing the best that I can to help him out. And is it taking a little bit of a toll on me? Yeah, it is. And my friend Derek, he's even apologizing. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry that I'm talking to you about this. I know that it's probably bringing up a lot of bad things for you and stuff, but I really appreciate it. And this is how I live my life now. This is how I live my life. This is how I get through losing my dad. And I don't want anybody to think that I am special or anything like that. It's something. It's one thing. I don't care race, creed, or religion. It's the one thing that brings us all together is death. But my dad was a really religious person. I'm not. You know what I believe in? I believe in that energy never dies. When you look up into the stars and all that stuff, we're made up of the same exact elements and atoms that the stars that we're looking at every single day. Because a lot of people don't look up into the night sky and look at the stars and stuff, but we're made up of stardust, basically. Not trying to be cliche and stuff, but I do believe energy never dies. But my dad believed in heaven and all that stuff. My dad was not scared of death. And I also know my dad was the type of guy that he wouldn't want me to waste a single goddamn day being depressed and stuff. Look, I get upset all the time. I do. And that's the advice that I gave my friend Derek. I gave my friend Derek the same advice because he's married. He's got kids and stuff. His dad was the same exact way as my father was. And I know that our two dads, not trying to rip off the radio show and stuff, or the TV show, they wouldn't want us to waste a single day mourning them. So I'm going to get off of that. I know that I'm being a little dark and heavy and stuff. Yes, gas prices. Roots Calhoun says, yo, yo, Tuds. What up, my friend? How are you? Hope you're doing well. He says, it's 6:20 here in Chicago. You know, they have those gas price averages and stuff. And it's getting to that point. Well, you know, everybody's saying that the threshold of what everybody is going to put up with, it's $5. The national average of $5. You got to realize the West Coast, like California and some of the other big cities, is kind of throwing off the average and everything. But once the average gets to over $5 a gallon here in the United States, look, we have all had bad gas prices. Back in 2008, when the housing bubble collapsed, I think it was over $4 at one time. Redbeard checking in. Iggy T, she says it's so outrageous. Iggy, what is the gas prices up in Canada? And now you got to take into consideration that, I don't know what you guys call your money in Canada. Is it the loon? I'm not too sure about that. But what is it up there with you guys? You guys also use that Celsius reading when it comes to the temperature and stuff. We use Fahrenheit. When I talked to my good friend Amy that lives in Wales, We always got to convert what the temperature is and stuff. But is it going to get to a point? Oh, Iggy's saying they pay over $6 a gallon. Holy shit. But at what point is the threshold where people start making changes? You know, the other great thing about the job that I have is that I'm able to work from home. Iggy says leaders. You guys do, is a liter a gallon? I'm sorry. You got to remember, us Americans are so hard-headed that we're like, oh, you need to go by our measurement and stuff. I mean, you saying 215 a liter is like basically speaking Chinese to me. Twisted Movie says, plus there's an extra loonie added to the gas tax every year. The Stanley Cup doesn't come back to Canada. Twisted, you I love it. You're the best, Twisted. By the way, as soon as I get done with this show, game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, a lot of people have been talking about the Lightning and how, oh, they lost the first 2 games of the series. I don't care what sport it is. Us Americans, we love making our playoff system just absolutely ridiculous. Best of seven. Well, in the NBA, the first round used to be best of 5. But, you know, until a team loses at home, the series is not in jeopardy. I'm sorry. The first 2 games were up in New York. New York was supposed to win. And if the Lightning win their 2 games at home, we're even Steven. And you also cannot forget about the playoff experience that the Lightning have. And I know, I don't get the hate that the Tampa Bay Lightning get. Everybody's like, oh, if you root for the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're a fair weather fan. You don't know anything about hockey. And you're probably right. We're not into the sport like the northerner states and especially Canada. But I'm tired of hearing about that original 6. Everybody wants to talk about the original 6. Original 6 this, original 6 that. Guess what? Times are a-changing. And we don't talk about the Chiefs and the Packers who played in the original Super Bowl and stuff. Like, none of the other teams matter besides those two, or the Cowboys, or the Jets. Tampa is a hockey town. And say what you want, the fans here, they love the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if the Lightning win tonight, look out. I'm sorry. They've won the last 2 cups. And you know what? That does account for something. They've had their backs up against the wall. Hell, they had their backs up against the wall in the first round of the series and stuff. So if they win tonight, it's anybody's series. I know a lot of people, you know, they don't like sports radio and stuff. Dave's in Luna's Kitchen. Hey, Tuds, I saw a video pop up. How are you guys? Dave in Luna's Kitchen, where are you guys located at? You guys here locally in Central Florida? Because I'll definitely come and eat at your establishment. Twisted Movies says, have you been to Green Bay? Yeah, that's all they talk about. It's disgusting. Well, it's not like they can talk about the Brewers or the Bucks. Well, the Bucks, I think the Bucks won the NBA championship recently. But there's not a lot to do in Wisconsin. Coming up here in a few minutes, I got a guest coming on, G.S. Jerry. He's a Florida native. He's written a book and stuff about the real estate business. I was supposed to have him on last week, but something ended up happening. G.S. Jerry is a dedicated family man, Navy veteran, and a writer from humble beginnings in St. Petersburg, Florida. Let me see here. Not a lot to do in Wisconsin. Jesus, you Jesus, you coastal people are so arrogant. I had a conversation with somebody on Twitter. You know, Ron DeSantis is like talking about all the people, domestic relocation. People in the state. Hold on. What was the exact word? All right. Ron DeSantis put out this thing. He was talking about number one in tourism, 20 billion surplus, number one beaches in the world, number one higher education. Kind of call bullshit on that one. But he also number one in domestic migration. You know, everybody wants to talk about immigration, but here in the state of Florida, let's talk about the domestic immigration that's happening. We've always had a surplus of people moving to the state of Florida. But the growth has been exponential here in the state since the pandemic and stuff. And I don't like it. I do not like it. Florida has the most unique ecosystem in the whole entirety of the United States of America. Number one, the Florida Everglades. You don't find that any exponential. Sorry, I misspoke. Roots. You want me to be honest, Roots? I'm not going to fight you on this one. We are retarded. And I don't like using that word. You got to realize here in the South, especially in Florida, a lot of inbreeding has happened, Roots Calhoun. And I don't think I can get in trouble by saying that because guess what? I'm a Florida cracker. I've lived in the state of Florida all my life. Exponential. Thank you for the correction. You know, I'm not one of those radio hosts that's going to be all pissed off at your Roots. You got me. Roots, you got me. And I like being corrected. I like being told when I'm wrong. But let's be honest. How many Floridians could solo host a podcast and get up and talk, not sound like a bumbling idiot? Even though I just made myself look like an idiot, not a lot of Floridians could do what I'm doing. I'm not trying to self-gloss or anything like that, but I'm just being honest. Vanilla Shake, you know what? I'm going to, you know, I even put up the people that correct me and, you know, try to put me in a bad light like Roots did. I love you, Roots. But Vanilla Shake says, hey man, channel is looking good. Thank you, Vanilla Shake. And Roots, look, this whole content that I'm putting out is about entertainment. Granny loves anal. Can I ask where you're sending the message? Are they like here? Because I don't get a lot of private messages. Where did you send the private message, Granny Loves Getting Banned? Previously, most likely, Granny Loves Anal. Just email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. I think you got my number. To Twit? No, sorry. I don't get the messages. I think your companion has my contact info, but if you need to get a hold of me, you can text me anytime, Granny. If you don't have my number, email me. I'll send it to you. You're a good dude. I would love for you to be able to send me personal messages every time. Don't send me dick pics or anything like that. But I would love for you to have my number, Granny. Seriously. I like the stuff that you guys do. I like your sense of humor and everything as well, too. So I have no problem giving you my number if you need to get a hold of me. I'm just waiting on my guests. I got GS Jerry. He is Roots Calhoun. Let me see what Roots said. Oh, I got my guest, GS Jerry. Hold on, let me add him here. What up, Jerry? And yellow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's a little echoey, but I mean, we're good. We're good.
All right.
How are you?
How about now? I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. What's going on? Well, see, now we're already off to a bad start. You're wearing the Florida State Seminoles hat and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, you know, living in St. Pete, you might wear a Tampa Bay Rays hat or whatever.
You know, that's usually what I go with, but I decided to change it up.
Did you do research and knew that I was a Gators fan? Are you trying to troll me and stuff? My family is from the Gainesville area.
I'm not trying to troll you, but I didn't know you were a Gators fan. But that
no,
just makes it even
but you want me to be honest, though, you know, a lot of those rivalries, a lot of people hate. The relationship that Bobby Bowden and Steve Spurrier had back in the day, I loved it. I mean, they were bitter rivals and stuff, but they had respect for each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely the best rivalry, especially when those guys were in it. You know, they were always super competitive. And, you know, how many times did one of them beat the other one when they didn't even have a
number one, number two
championship, right? All the time.
You know, my, I'm not trying to bum out, but like, bum you out. My dad passed away a year ago, and my favorite memory, childhood memory, hanging out with my dad, any of the teams that I had ever root for, they had never won a championship, but the first team that I supported was the Florida Gators. That was the first team that won a championship. And we went to Gators Dockside in DeLand. And the final game of the season, Florida State ended up beating the Gators. And then they played in that 1996 Sugar Bowl that ended up being the national championship game.
And beat the shit out of us.
And yeah, 52-20. Isn't it funny how we'll remember dumbass shit throughout our lives? I'll never forget the score of that game, 52-20, 52-20.
I know, right? It was such a good game in the regular season, and you're like, oh, yeah, rematch is going to be great and just awful. Well, especially for us, but, I mean, if you're a Gator fan, I'm sure you're loving it.
Yeah, so Jerry, before we get into the interview, tell my audience a little bit about yourself and the book that you've written.
So my name's G.S. Jerry. I wrote a book called Meth Murder on Amazon. It's essentially the world's worst home selling experience. So if you've ever sold a house, you're like, hey, seems like a easy thing. I can assure you it's not. You know, how many real estate agents do you think it takes to sell a house?
When did this experience happen?
2019. So I was in Colorado, and we had our house for sale. And so the guy who originally sold us this house, he was going to list it for us. And, you know, we had a good relationship with him. And then all of a sudden he just starts spacing out. We don't hear anything from him. Put in offers in Colorado Springs, super delayed. Come to find out, he's not even living in Colorado. He's living in Arizona. And I was like, well, that probably explains the non-responsiveness. So we're like, hey, we're going to go with someone else. We actually went with the lady who was showing us houses in Colorado Springs. And then that's when the real craziness happens. And she, you know, she's been in our house 20, 30 times. And we went on vacation actually to Florida to go visit my mom. And there's an open house. And all of a sudden I get a call and she's like, Jerry, did you know there's someone inside your house? I'm like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, there's someone inside your house and they're under the bed. I'm like, what?
Oh man, that's straight out of like Stephen King horror flick almost.
Yes. And so it's our real estate agent and she's there with another lady. And so they see a body and they run out the house. The other lady calls the cops on us and she says,
wait, you say body. When people say body, you're usually talking about dead people, but it was somebody hiding under the bed or was the person dead?
So they run out the house. The one real estate agent jumps in her car, calls the cops, actually says that, you know, there's a dead body, a child's dead body, and we must have murdered one of our children and drove to Florida to cover our tracks. And that's really why we were in Florida. So, yeah.
Wait, so the house you're trying to sell, right? Or were you trying to buy a house?
No, this is the house we're trying to sell. Yeah. So we go on vacation. You know,
what the fuck, man? So wait a minute. So, all right. So I don't want to give too much away about the book because I want people to buy the book and stuff. But I got to ask, like, what was the body? Was it dead or somebody hiding underneath there? Like,
I don't want to give it away because if I tell you, then it basically just tells you if there's.
Oh, I know that. But I mean, did you do it? Did you put the body under the bed? Well, I mean,
I didn't put the body under the bed. It's basically like the world's worst assumption turns into world's worst accusation. What? So
where does the meth come into play?
So they call the cops, you know, they say we must have murdered one of our kids, hit the body under the bed. Cops show up, clear the area, everything's good. 4 days later, they're like, hey, we were in your garage when we were, you know, freaked out and we smelled something burning. It smelled like burning plastic. And she's like, do you know what that is?
That's meth. I mean, everybody in Florida knows burning plastic is like the first sign of methamphetamines.
Yeah, but apparently that's what it is. And I was like, was plastic actually burning? And she's like, no, it wasn't burning. You know, burning plastic actually means that someone could be smoking meth or you could be making meth in your garage. Mind you, I live in the suburbs. You know, it's only a two-car garage.
How long was this house vacant for? Because we've all, like, everybody watched Breaking Bad. You know, like, they look for opportunities and everything. So, was the house empty for quite some time or what?
No, so we were still occupying the house when this all occurred. This real estate agent actually had been in our house 20 plus times, right? Because we did number.
I bet it was a real estate agent. It was definitely the real estate. She's running a meth ring, and she shows houses. Hey, we need the house for a day. We need to show it. We got a lot of people coming in. They bring in the meth cooks, Walter White and Jesse. We're going to cook the meth up, act like we're showing the home, and then we're going to get out before the owners come back.
Yep, exactly. And so they basically say, you know, we smell burning plastic, so you could be making meth in your garage like Heisenberg. At this point, I actually hadn't seen Breaking Bad, and I was like, what the hell is going on? I was like, you've seen my family. You've been in my house. Like, are you kidding me? And sure enough, she's like, yeah, in fact, you know, I talked to the owners. They said that you're required to get a meth test done or we're going to flag your house in the MLS behavior. And I was like, no, you're not. I guarantee you're not going to do that. And
she's wait a minute. Well, hold on. I think I've played a news story about this. Have they done any news stories about this? Because there was a story that I remember when I first started this podcast that I think that I might have played about a person that was trying to sell the house and they needed to do a meth test. I'm not bullshitting you at all. Like, now this is all starting to sound very familiar to me.
So I'm like, you know, they tell me I have to get a meth test. They're like, it's only $50. I'm like, I don't care if it costs 50 cents. I'm not getting a meth test done. Like, you're ridiculous. Like, I have 2 degrees. I have a, you know, I have a really good job. I was working at, for Amazon at the time.
I mean,
you're crazy.
Meth, just like Adderall, would help you study. So let's not act like educated people have never done meth before. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you did, but I kind of get where you're coming from. Because when accusations get the, like, did you get an attorney right away? Because I think a lot of the mistakes that people have, they're like, oh, you know, I'm a law-abiding citizen and stuff. I'll talk to the cops. I'll do this. I'll do that. Like, I really think if you're going to talk to the authorities and stuff, you got to have an attorney present.
Yeah, so I actually did contact an attorney. And I was like, I can't believe they did this to me. You know, the lady's like, yeah, I'm with you. They shouldn't be able to do this. You know, back and forth. They actually called the real estate agent and they talked to him. And apparently in Colorado, because it's such an epidemic there, that if they even suspect that there's meth on the premises, possible meth, they can actually force you to get a meth test done as law. And there's nothing to do about it.
But I mean, come on, though. Like, people are always looking for an angle. Like, I could walk into a, man, I smell burning plastic. I need a meth test done. And then they're just using it to knock a couple of grand off for the price of the house and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And obviously that'll show up on the reports because you have to disclose everything, anything that's happened. This is ridiculous. So after, you know, the lawyer's like, hey, we can't do anything. I'm like, I'm going to the news, right? The news would love to hear this.
So they did cover it. I almost guarantee you I played this story. I can almost guarantee you.
2019.
Man, so... How do you end up in Florida, though?
So when this all happens, my mom actually got sick and, you know, she had early stage cancer. We're like, hey, this isn't working out in Colorado. We're going to move to Florida. And then after, you know, we got the cops called on us for the murder, then I was like,
you had to go back, right?
Yeah. And so that's kind of how we ended up in Florida. But when I went to the news, I was like, you know, hey, we're going to get them, you know, like everybody will feel sympathy for us. Like, this is a good idea. Well, they go and do the story.
Oh, here, hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, but Roots, you know, you got to realize I've done a show every single day. I mean, there was about 3 months I did a show even on the weekends, but, you know, I forget about it. It all runs together. But Roots says, yeah, you played some shit about houses that come with warnings about previous meth use indoors. And I'm sure it happens, but I can almost guarantee you, like, I played this story.
Yeah, so if you got it, then that would be hilarious. But I was only on the news. They only aired the broadcast for about 9 hours, and it got taken down because I switched that real estate agent. I fired her. I go to a new real estate agent. So now I'm on real estate agent number 3. First frame on the broadcast, it's my new real estate agent sign. So what do you think everybody does? They see the sign, and they blow her up. Hey, how could you do this to these people? Blah, blah, blah. My real estate agent calls me. She's like, Jerry, what did you do? I'm like, what are you talking about? I went to the news. Like, I'm going to get my revenge, right? And she's like, no, people think it's me. They're calling me. You have to stop this. So it got taken down. The article is actually still out there in Colorado, but there's no photo.
So I've been seeing you wearing, in your picture, you're wearing a Tampa Bay Rays hat. So, like, I mean, you supporting the Rays or not the Rockies anymore or no?
I got some Rockies hats. You know, I went to a few games there. I always like the Rays. You know, I've been to plenty of games at the Tampa Bay Stadium. So I always rock the Rays. But when I was in Colorado, I did have some Rockies hats. And a big time FSU fan.
So I got to ask you, you know, the Avalanche swept. They're already in the Stanley Cup Finals. Living in Tampa Bay. Like, where's your allegiance like?
Go Lightning. I've always been a Lightning fan. The last year I was in high school is actually when they won the first cup.
I'm 42 years old, and you know it, a lot of things make me feel really old. What year did you graduate? Because when you said the year, all right, so then it was at the first Stanley Cup that they won back in 2004. You know, game 4 is tonight. I'm pretty excited about it. Everybody had the Lightning down and out. And I've always believed when it comes to these 7-game series, it doesn't become a real series until the home team loses.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they got a heart of a champion. You know, they fight to the very end, so they're going to have to beat them. good, you know, for the Lightning, but there's no quitting them.
How's this game? How's the book selling?
It's doing all right. You know, I'm a new author. This is kind of it actually started as an inside joke. You know, I was like, hey, I got this crazy story, meth murder on Amazon. I'm going to write it. Like, this is a hilarious title. Then I started writing and I liked it. And then it just kind of took off.
What's your background? I'm seeing the background. I mean, I see the lion head, but I can't see the words. Greg Den. What is Greg Den?
So that's the website. Mr. Greg is the main character in the book.
So this is a nonfiction then, a fiction book then, like, or is it?
It's we'll call it creative nonfiction. All the stories are true, but all the characters, places, locations, they're all changed. And so there's a hilarious character names like the lady who accuses me of the meth and the murder. Her name's Dobby Snobby. That's obviously not her name. Mm-hmm. So I did it.
You don't want to get sued. You don't want to use real people's names and stuff.
Exactly. And I work with a lot of Fortune 100, 500 companies that do cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah.
You are compliance. So I don't want people this guy wrote this book on meth and murder. I don't want him doing, you know, looking at my infrastructure.
Well, listen, I've done radio for the past 20 years. I've been doing the podcast for a while. I just got a new job at a pretty good company, a national company and stuff. And like, I talk about what I do, but I don't talk about where I work at, because I talk about things that people, you know, might get offended about. Manu, I keep missing your live show, brother. Manu, see, this is the thing that I like about Manu's down all the way in New Zealand. He catches the show all the time. So
that's
what I love about podcasting. You know, you could just reach anywhere all the time. Everything's on demand, and I'm always grateful when people catch the live shows and stuff. So you've only been in Florida for a couple of years then, right?
Yeah, we've been here since November 2019, so yeah, a little over 2 years now.
I was talking about this before you came on. We were talking about domestic migration. Everybody talks about immigration, people from other countries coming here, but talking about domestic immigration, and we've always had a big influx of people coming into the state. And now, since the pandemic, it's just gotten crazy with the amount of people moving here. Are you kind of like, oh man, I was ahead of the curve. Now it's just like all these Yankees and all these Midwestern people, all the West Coasters and stuff.
Everybody's coming over here to, you know, have their freedoms. You know, Florida's one of the only states that, you know, remain open and let people have their freedoms for the most part. And a lot of states aren't like that, or certainly weren't like that during the pandemic. So
Did you guys pay a state income tax in Colorado?
We do. Yeah, there's a state income tax.
Isn't that great about Florida, though?
It is. It is. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, like, the roads are nice and stuff like that, but the state taxes are definitely not worth it.
Yeah, because when I look at some of these other states, it's like, how do you even live, like, in a place like New York, the state of New York and stuff, with all the taxes you're having to pay there? Now, I read a bunch of stories about, you know, when they legalize weed, that it took a lot of burden off of the taxpayers in Colorado. You know, you lived in Colorado. Was there a surplus of taxes coming in when they legalized marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, whenever they legalized marijuana, they taxed the hell out of it. So they're definitely making their tax dollars off the marijuana. As far as my income tax going down, no, I don't think
it didn't. You would think that would give you guys a little bit of a break. You'd be like, oh man, everybody's getting high. We're all having a good time. We got a lot of money coming in.
Chill.
No, but I've never understood it. I'm not trying to be one of those conspiracy theorists, but, you know, our politics now are all backed by lobbyists and stuff. You got big tobacco, big alcohol, big pharmaceutical that's just, like, handing out the oxys like it's candy now, you know.
Yeah, and they're decriminalizing all the hardcore drugs. Like, how does that make sense? You're going to decriminalize all these drugs, but weeds, you're not going to decriminalize that. How does that make sense?
No, I'm not trying to be like a stoner pothead or anything, but let's be honest. you know, are there, I've never heard of anybody ever overdosing on weed. And if that was going to happen, you
overdose.
No
withdrawals, nothing, right? You can smoke and then you'll be good. You can stop the next day. You don't have any withdrawals. I mean, unless you just want to smoke.
But alcohol,
smoke every day, can stop at any time.
Yeah, but alcohol like kills people, cirrhosis of the liver, DUIs. Now, there could be deaths related to people being too high and getting into an accident and stuff. I mean, let's talk about cigarettes. How many people are dying of cancer every single day? And it's just like, exactly. I don't know. We just have our priorities all mixed up and everything.
Oh, yeah, there's so many medicinal benefits for weed too that it just makes no sense. Yeah, it goes. Well, you got cancer, smoke weed. You can eat, sleep.
You were talking about your mom had cancer. My mom had it 2 times through her life, and I remember the first time because the first time my mom smoked weed back in the day, but it was that dirt weed that you would get back in the day. And when I was working at a radio station, I got her some high-grade stuff for the first time. I didn't let her know because she was just losing a lot of weight. You know, that chemo, yeah. Chemo just makes you sick as hell. And I ended up getting her, like, a little quarter and brought her home to her, and it was the best thing that I ever got for her. Like, it helped her out with her appetite and everything.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of benefits to the smoking weed.
I'm not trying to, did your mom beat it or like?
Yeah, she did beat it. She actually passed away in March.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Unrelated to the cancer. She was older. She was, you know, 80 years old. So she had a multi-organ shutdown and, you know, just kind of her time to go. She wasn't getting up around or anything. So
at least she was strong enough to beat the shit, you know?
Yeah. She beat it. She was cancer free, you know, like almost like right in the middle of the pandemic. And then, right towards the end, she's like, oh, no, you know, I'm scared to get sick. I don't want to get sick. And then, you know, she went into she went to the hospital and then everybody came and she's like, take those stupid mask offs, like, get over here, get close to us. So it was like at the end, she like, totally looked around, you know.
Is there an audio version of your book? And if there isn't, if you were going to do one, oh, there is. Did you voice it?
I didn't. I actually held auditions and I had a professional do it. I was like, no, there's probably someone that can do this a lot better than me, and I don't have time to do this. I don't have a recording studio or anything. So the guy who did it actually did a really good job. I gave him some really insane things to read from the book because there's like a lot of sing-alongs, you know, like the Chicken Wing song. There's a remix of that at the back of the book. There's like a remix of London Bridges and things like that. So I sent him things that I knew, like any, it would trip anybody up to read it. And, you know, he just kind of ran with it. And I was like, yes, you're the guy.
So, all right. Turned out great. Hey, Jerry, you got my number and stuff. Now, let's stay in contact. But before I let you go and everything, tell my audience once again how they can find the book or how they can check you out on social media.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Meth Murder on Amazon, you can find it on Amazon. The audiobook's on there. It's on Audible, iTunes, also on Barnes & Noble as well. I have a website, GreatDen.com, and you can find me on social media. It's usually Instagram, GreatDen, or LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn a lot as well. Hey, Instagram, Shano Bantami, they don't like meth and murder together. So every time I post, they're like, nope, that's it. You can only post once on LinkedIn. So I just go on LinkedIn most of the time.
Hey, Jerry, I usually make it to the Tampa St. Pete area once a month, man. I'll have to give you a buzz and see if you're ever around to go hang out, maybe get a bite to eat or whatever. I'm not trying to pick you up or anything. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll bring a book. I'll sign you a book for the show.
Oh, you know, I've been speaking to a lot of authors. Had the last author that I spoke to, you know, I've dealt with mental illness all through my life. I got Baker Act. I stayed in Tampa, had the worst mental hospital that I had to stay at. But the guy wrote a book called The Happy Hotline. I'll have to send you the info, but he dealt with mental illness, but it was about a guy that had a, you know, those lines that you can call the suicide lines and stuff if you're having issues and everything. But the guy was a serial killer that was operating one of these suicide lines, and he would provoke them into, like, harming themselves or luring them in. So he could kill
that movie. It's like kill.com. You remember that?
Yeah.
Movie?
But it was, I thought it was a great concept. you know, I'll have to get you that author's name, but I think that was the last author that I had on this show. And he sent me a book. He signed it, left me a little message. So maybe I'll start a collection of people that have written books and stuff.
Yeah, I also do NFTs and stuff too. So, you know, I've signed a couple audiobooks and had a friend mend them into NFTs. So I do a couple different things. I mean, I feel like this book appeals to pretty much everybody. Everybody likes to laugh, right? And so this is definitely a super unique book. Crazy characters, sing-alongs, rhymes. It's different.
Funny. All right, Jerry, man, I enjoy the conversation. Thank you for coming on, man, and let's keep in touch, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. Have a good one, Jerry.
All right, you too.
All right, so I want to get into a story before I leave. Okay, here. Toasty with the Mosty says, hi, Tuttle. Hi, boys. All right, so you know what? It's going to be viewer's choice, people in the chat room. I got two stories. I got a video story about a two-year-old that killed his father with the dad's handgun. Now, keep in mind, both parents were felons. They had no business owning a gun. Doesn't make it any or less of a sad story. Or I got a story about all the shark sightings we're having here on the East Coast. Not maybe the story you would pick, but I was going to tell you a related personal story where I got banned from New Smyrna Beach for wearing a belt, a mullet belt around my waist. And a lot of people don't know this, that New Smyrna Beach is the shark bite capital of the world. Not when it comes to fatalities, but there's a lot of shark bite. So, if you're in the chat room right now, or hell, if you want to call in, 407-270-3044. What story do you want me to talk about? The two-year-old that killed his felon father with his own gun, or the great white shark sightings that we're having on the East Coast of the United States, which will be joined by my own personal story about the time I got trespassed from New Smyrna Beach. Oh, Toasty with the Mosty says the shark story. I'm going to give it like another 30 seconds. If I don't get any other votes in, I'm just going to go with the shark story, just because of Toasty. By the way, this is not Kahlua or anything. I've been drinking cold brew coffee lately. I know that probably makes me sound like a complete hipster douche. All right, I'm going with the sharks. Going with the sharks. Hold on. Here we go. Shark story on deck for you. Because, you know, we don't get a lot of great white shark sightings on the East Coast of the United States. That's more of a California thing. Or Australia. But yeah, they've been, you know, tracking a lot more great white sharks.
Look at this monster.
A jaw-dropping close-up of a great white. A stunning 12-foot-long shark, witnesses say, less than a mile.
I think that is why the movie Jaws is so popular. Look, I love the ocean. I love salt water. But I've been surfing before. Horrible at it. Horrible at surfing. You want to know why? Because I am deathly afraid of being in the ocean. Because in the ocean, there's a lot of stuff that will eat you. And a lot of people would say, oh, Tuttle, well, you probably swim in lakes all the time. Yeah, I do. People are like, well, you're not afraid of gators? Of course I am. But for the most part, gators want to stay away from you. Unless somebody has been feeding an alligator, and the alligator is comfortable with humans and stuff. But for the most part, gator attacks don't happen a lot. They just don't. But guess what? Great whites, sharks in general, are apex predators. Sharks don't give a fuck about your feelings. Sharks only know one thing. That is to eat, eat, eat. And most of the shark bites aren't that the sharks have a taste for human blood. No, they're on the shore. They think a person on a surfboard is a seal or something. Or they're just after a bait ball, a big swarm of mullets or whatever, and they accidentally bite people. But that's why I don't like being in anything greater than waist-deep water when it comes to the ocean.
Mile from the Jersey Shore.
Look at him.
Joey Piazza, relieved to have caught a glimpse of the apex predator.
As soon as I heard this guy's last name, my good friend Addie, her last name is Piazza. I got to hang out with some of her family members. They're from Long Island. But I sent this story to her because this guy is up in New Jersey. And I sent the story. Hey, any relation? Now, New Jersey and New York is not that far away, but the difference in between the Jersey accent and the Long Island accent, oh, it's day and night. I just got a big laugh out of that.
Editor from the confines of his boat.
To see it in our oceans today, the great giant of the world.
That's definitely not a Long Island accent. Matter of fact, the guy sounds like he's from the South. Manu. See, Manu is down in New Zealand, Australia area. Now, you want to talk about people getting killed by sharks? I think Australia has his beat. When it comes to fatalities, Manu says it's called having a healthy respect for the environment you enter. Yes. And I agree with you. Toasty with the mosty. Definitely sounds like he's from Florida.
This was impressive.
But the remarkably close encounter sending chills down other beachgoers' spines.
Is there anything that would keep you out of the water?
A shark sighting.
As a spate of sightings suggests the East Coast shark season is getting an early start.
Now, I will say this. The media loves creating seasons. Here, I'll give you an example. When it comes to weather, we only used to name hurricanes, typhoons, and stuff. No, the media, they started naming winter storms. Why? Why are we naming winter storms now? And now we have a shark season? This is just media hype, if I'm being honest. Because guess what, everybody? If it bleeds, it leads. Destruction. Everybody loves it.
In April, 1,000-pound Ironbound made his way up to New Jersey.
Now we're naming the sharks, too. Ironbound.
And off the coast of Massachusetts, people have spotted at least 10 sharks since Memorial Day.
Guess what? It's the ocean. There's gonna be sharks.
A weekend. Like this one, sending a seal airborne near...
And guess what? We've all seen it. We've all saw the Planet Earth specials and stuff. We saw the Air Jaws documentary. It's what sharks do. That's why they're apex predators. Manu's a celebrity shark week. It's what sharks do. That's all they do. They reproduce and they eat. They eat and fuck. Fuck and eat. That's what they do.
Near Nantucket. And this Mako shark spotted off Long Island. Officials there already on high alert after seeing a very significant increase in sharks last summer, prompting them to use more drones to keep watch.
Look at that. Look at that. See, all right, you see the sharks there? Look at that bait run. Look at that school of mullet. That's right there. Toasty says, sounds like my boyfriend says, fucking eat. But look at that bait. Look at all that bait on the right of the screen. Sharks are not coming after people. Like, there could be somebody surfing, but I don't even know how you would surf or swim in that school of mullet. It's just, you would know. Also, if you're in the ocean water and you see a lot of birds diving into the water, or you see a lot of bait fish, you probably should not be in the water. Because where there's prey, where there's bait fish, guess what? There's gonna be predators. And I'm gonna tell the story about how I got trespassed and banned from New Smyrna Beach.
They are our early warning system. They could see before our lifeguard could spot a shark coming in.
The U.S. has the majority of unprovoked shark attacks worldwide, with nearly 50 recorded in 2021. This California swimmer is among the survivors.
And you know what? It sucks whenever anybody gets bit. But these surfers, isn't that kind of the allure to surfing? Because there's that chance. You're an adrenaline junkie. You could be bit by a shark. Isn't that why a lot of people, like I said, adrenaline junkies, they love to surf. It's kind of a little bit dangerous. I mean, if you wipe out, you're not going to end up on hard concrete or asphalt like a skateboarder. But you got that danger of being in an environment where you're not the apex person.
Marks a year since his harrowing dip near San Francisco.
I kind of feel just this like a sudden kind of like a push.
Now, okay, you know how many times I've seen stories of surfers that had like horrific attacks where they get like, you see how this guy, he's got his hamstring on the back? I've seen shark attack bites where that whole, all that meat would be gone. And they're like, oh yeah, after I heal from this, I'm getting back up on the board, dude. Not going to let some apex predator like a shark scare me away from what I love doing, brah. You know what? I mean, I kind of respect your ignorance, but are you for real? And the story that I'm going to tell you after this, I really can't talk that much.
And a little sting, and as I was twitching my leg, you know, like I could see kind of like a nose, triangular nose, like with two dark eyes, just kind of in a flash kind of pass.
Overall, the number of deaths from shark attacks is extremely small and trending down, according to experts, yep, who offer this advice to swimmers.
Well, I mean, we're kind of killing off all the prey for sharks by polluting the ocean. So, yeah. Shark numbers are going to be down. Plus, a lot of the Asian countries that are into that shark fin soup, they catch sharks. They don't even keep the whole body. You know what they do? They don't even kill the shark. They cut off the top fin, side fins, throw that shark back in the water, and basically let it drown. Let it suffocate. You know, I don't know if you guys know this. You know, everybody compares themselves to sharks that are workaholics and stuff. I'd be like, oh, I'm kind of like a shark. If I stop moving, I'm going to die. Because sharks don't sleep. Sharks don't stop moving. Because guess what? If they stop moving, they can't breathe.
The real important message is the sharks are here. They're hunting. They're doing their natural.
Thanks, Brad's mom.
Activities, and we're sharing that area with them.
So, I've done a lot of dumb stunts through my radio career. And now looking back on it, this was by far one of the most dangerous things that I ever did. New Smyrna Beach is a little bit south of Daytona. I'm just trying to give you a point of reference. So it's like Central Florida, Atlantic side. We have this little jetty that runs into the intercoastal, the Indian River, Mosquito Lagoon, all those areas. If you live in Florida, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you don't, and you want to know what I'm talking about, just Google the intercoastal, Indian River, Mosquito Lagoon. So we got Ponce Inlet, that's on the north side. Then you have New Smyrna Beach. Then you got the entrance, which has a pretty strong current that a lot of bait, a lot of things that sharks eat come in and out of it. Because in the Indian River, a lot of the spawning fish, they go into the intercoastal Indian River, Mosquito Lagoon, to lay their eggs, to breed, to mate, all that good stuff. And then once those fish get to a certain age, they go out to the ocean. That's why New Smyrna Beach has not had a lot of fatalities. But I remember one year, early 2000. They had a high number of shark bites, shark attacks. And I now looking back on it, it was pretty goddamn dumb for me to do. Because it was a bunch of media hype. Not actually hype. Like, there was two or three people a day getting bites taken out of them. They were getting hacks taken out of them by sharks. None of them were fatal because most of the sharks in that area are smaller. Russ, when I was on the Monsters in the Morning, I was like, hey, I'm going to send you and the sexy Savannah out to New Smyrna Beach. Got a surfboard here for you. But the whole selling of the bit was you're going to wear this belt that has mullet. I wore a mullet belt and I poured a bucket of blood over the top of my head before I went into the water. Because at the time, they banned surfing in that part of New Smyrna Beach right by the jetty. They had lifeguards, law enforcement stopping people. You know what I did? I put on that mullet belt, I poured that chum all over the top of my head, and I ran out to the water with my surfboard. Never had surfed in my life. Didn't even attempt to ride a wave. That was by far one of the most nervous times when I've ever done any stunts. Because, like Manu said, when you get into the water, here, I'll tell you exactly what Manu said. Manu said, it's called having a healthy respect for the environment you enter. I had a healthy respect for it but I was a dumbass. I was a dumbass that would do anything to make a name for myself in the business. And I went out and did that. And there was a lot of bait in the water. Every single little thing that bumped up against my leg, I was like, this is it. I'm going to lose my calf muscle. I'm going to lose a big chunk out of the back of my leg. And there was a lot of stuff that bumped me. I think I was out there for 2-3 minutes top. I know that's not a long time, but when you're wearing a mullet belt and you poured a bucket of blood over the top of your head, and I know most people know this, sharks can smell a drop of blood from miles away. And I poured a bucket over the top of my head and was wearing a mullet belt. Looking back on it, it was the dumbest shit that I've ever done in my radio career when it comes to stunts and stuff. And when I got out, law enforcement from Volusia County, the lifeguards got my ID, took my ID, and for 5 years, I couldn't walk on the beach of New Smyrna. I just couldn't. Now, I probably could have. I don't understand how you can enforce a trespass warrant against somebody on the beach, I mean, you would have to, like, check everybody, right? Not unless they had a picture of me. No, they easily could have had a picture of me and stuff because it was a dumbass thing that I did. So, that was my story. Hopefully you thought it was entertaining. They actually wrote about me in the newspaper. Matter of fact, I have the article that they wrote about me when I did that. I'm going to see if I can photocopy it, get it turned into a JPEG so I can post it that you guys can read it. All right, guys, going to get out of here. Don't forget, tomorrow I won't be doing a live show. I just started working this new job. They're having a company get together tomorrow at a very fancy high-end restaurant in Orlando. Trust me, I would love to be able to do the show, but I think it's in my best interest starting at a new company, having a little bit of FaceTime with the bosses and stuff. Anyways, going to get out of here, guys. Want to thank everybody that checked out tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.